Hi, I'm Jennifer Joseph from Slacker Heroes, and you're listening to the Chase Variant Comic Book Podcast, brought to you by StashMyComics.com, powered by Geek Energy.
You are indeed listening to the Chase Variant Podcast, sponsored by StashMyComics.com. Tonight we're going to have a really interesting show. We have a very special guest with us, which we'll introduce in a short bit. We're going to talk about our favorite thing we read this week. We're going to do a little bit of trivia and a special segment at the end of the show, so stay tuned for the whole thing. Don't want to miss a announce of this awesomeness. So in this corner, we have the cosmic sound technician who always wears a ski mask. We don't know why. It's Chance with No Pants Peterson. Say hello, Chance.
Hey, everyone.
And in this other corner still, we have his psychic, the teenage dynamo, Mr. Nico Iheart Hawkeye Kaler. Say hello, Nico.
Hi.
And with us, our special guest, like I promised, the rollicking, rock and rolling, Twitter machining Jennifer Joseph from SlackerHeroes.com. Say hello, Jennifer.
Hi.
And finally, I am stuck in the middle of all these freaks. I am the Pan Galactic Cargo. I don't know what I'm saying. I stopped making sense a minute ago. Jason Newcomb and... guess who is late to the action tonight, holding up the whole thing because he had to go through the drive-through. Who needs to eat when you have to talk about comics? It's Steven Sparks. Say hello, Steven.
What's up, Buttercups?
Well, I'll tell you what's up. We have some punishment in line for you because you were late. Actually, we decided to force you to sing a ridiculous song. I think Jennifer actually had a choice pick for you to sing. What do you want Steven to sing for us, Jennifer?
I think he needs to sing You Are the Wind Beneath My Wings.
Okay. I don't know this song.
You know this song.
I'll get you the lyrics.
Everybody knows that song.
You could at least get me like Kesha or something, or...
No.
Why do I have to sing?
It's a classic.
I don't like that thing song. Oh, it's
Bette Midler. At least I know that song.
Well, then, you obviously
you need the broadening of horizons.
All right. We'll let you slide this time, but if it happens again, you have to sing two songs.
I'll sing whatever you want me to sing. I'll even... So... anyways, let's rock and roll here, people. I'm ready to...
All right. We're going to talk about... this segment is Best Comic Books of the Week.
The dialogue is so great.
But, you know, I don't know where in the timeline this is all taking place.
Fans of Deathstroke are going to love this.
It's a bunch of humans in these invisible suits.
These guys look pretty hardcore.
And in this segment, we just talk about whatever we read this week that we really like that's a comic book or relating to comic books. And it doesn't have to be a book that came out this week because we ride with the wind here. We take a ride on the wild side.
Oh, yeah.
So we're going to talk about our favorite comics. Maybe we can start with Chance Peterson. What was your favorite thing you read this week?
All right. Well, aside from Flash number 6, which anyone listening to this should go read my review on the Stash My Comics website.
So awesome.
My pick was Deadpool number 51, which is the second part of the Dead arc that's going on. In this arc so far, we know that Deadpool has found a way to actually kill himself, which usually, if you know Deadpool, he can't because of his healing factor. and he's come up with this elaborate scheme to get this serum that will allow him to negate his healing factor, and is playing everyone like chess pieces, where he has the X-Force team, the Kingpin, and Daken all trying to work for him without them thinking anything about it. And I really am enjoying the fact that he's very tactical in this. And usually you'd think of Deadpool as just crazy and goes with things as they happen. But in this, he's really managing to do this, and everything is planned out, and he knows what's going to happen, yet I'm expecting some serious kinks thrown in there to just mess this whole plan up.
So who's writing this now?
Writing it is Daniel Way.
Okay.
I've been enjoying the stuff he's written for Deadpool right now.
Sounds like it would be a good Deadpool story for people to jump in who may not be a fan of the regular Deadpool as he's usually portrayed.
Yeah, it's kind of an in-between of really overly cheesy and the opposite end of where he's just very serious. So it's a good mix, I think, at least right now. And it definitely is a spot to jump on. And I don't know if it's going to continue after this. If not, I'd still suggest picking up earlier stuff.
Okay, I'm hearing somebody, like somebody's a mouth breather out there. Is it Steven or Nico?
Yeah, that's me. I'm sorry. I just put my mic back on.
I'm going to make you sing three songs next week.
He gets his own podcast for himself.
Terms of Deadpool, I think, am I correct in guessing from what you've said on Twitter, Jennifer, that you are a Deadpool fan, or at least you like the character?
I do like the character, yes. I haven't read any Deadpool issues in a really long time, though, but I like the whole X-Men world. My favorite. And I love Deadpool.
So did you drop Deadpool because it just became uninteresting to you at a certain point, or?
No, it's more the whole I'm a freelance writer, broke
right.
writer syndrome.
Gotcha.
So I had to really pare back, and a lot of the stuff that I read now I borrow from friends. Or I just don't read as much as I used to.
Right. Well, that tends to be something that that happens to writers is they read less because they're just focusing on their writing projects.
Right. Well, I have a book out next month, and then I'm working on two young adult novels after that, and a movie screenplay. So, pretty busy.
Right on. We'll get awesome. You to expound on that there in a minute because it's pretty interesting. So, best comics of the week, maybe Steven, you want to go?
Yeah, I can butt into this conversation a little. Let's see, I'm going to do Alice in Wonderland by Zenoscope. I love this series. It's awesome. I was happy to see the prequel. If you listen to me and Matt's podcast, I reviewed issue number one. Issue number two just recently came out, and I was so overwhelmed with joy because this is just getting better. The Cheshire Cat, he's by far one of my favorite characters in this whole book because he, you know, doesn't give a damn and he goes straight out to get the job done. So I'll review this book a little and see what we got here. So we're going to start off with the White Rabbit talking to the Queen of Hearts. And obviously the White Rabbit has something up his sleeve, or his fur, I guess I should say, really. And we just don't know what, because he's getting things together with the Mad Hatter and the Cheshire Cat, and I do believe one more
person is involved in this, but he's not revealed, so we don't know who it is. And so we go back where we left off in issue number one, where Alice runs into this huge walrus that's like five stories tall, and it's all crazy, and we don't know what's going on. So she sees that the walrus isn't that bad of a person. It's actually, he once was human, but was in, he was like a scientist, and his boat got shipwrecked in the ocean, and he came across this island, stayed there for a while. He finds one of his buddies, and I think he goes into cannibalism for a little bit, which is really cool. And then he chases the white rabbit, which suddenly appears out of nowhere. And he comes across this little lagoon, and it's got these walrus bones, and it's really cool. And this was probably my favorite page of the book, and it shows the walrus skeleton, like, clinging to him and, like, becoming a part of him. And you see him growing his tusk, and his eyes are growing, you know, deep and black, and, oh, it's just awesomely brutal. And, you know, then we see the white rabbit talking to the March Hare, and I really don't see a lot of the March Hare a lot in the other Wonderland series, so it was really cool to see a little glimpse of him. The Mad Hatter, we see him hanging some skin in this issue, which is really cool. If you want to know more about him, I would definitely get the one-shots they put out beforehand. So then we see Alice and the Walrus. The Walrus loves to eat, so they're in their little diner eating and stuff. And some stuff comes along of the Butcher, who's this just this BA character, and he wants to slaughter Alice, and you know, he gets a hold of the Walrus and plans to hang him, and then like they're all fighting. Alice grabs the sledgehammer, blasts out his knee, which is really awesome, and then hits him with scalding hot, like, bowl of soup, and his face is all fried, all, you know, burnt up with second degree burns, and it's brutal. And then we see Alice run away, and that's the last you see of her. And then you see the Cheshire Cat knocking on the Butcher's door. And the Cheshire Cat can really, you know, he has a knack for the smell of things. And, you know, he senses Alice's scent in the diner. And, you know, the Cheshire Cat's like, you better let me in or, you know, you're going to, you know, get your butt whipped pretty much. So, well, the Butcher, you know, the dummy that he was, he left the, you know, the window open. So the Cheshire Cat, you know how he can turn invisible and everything, just creeps through the window, sneaks up behind him, and just takes his massively huge claws and just, you know, slices the Butcher in half. And it's great. In this scene, we see, oh my God, he's split into 1, 2, 3, 4 pieces. And what's awesome about this is that the Butcher is still alive, even with his organs just totally, like, gone from him. And then you see him in a later frame, and he's like, oh, I'll get myself back together. And you see him actually putting his arm back into his shoulder socket again. And, yeah, it was awesome. So after that...
One sure way to please Steven with his comic books is to... inflict incredible violence on these iconic fairy tale characters.
Oh my God, it's the best. That's why I love this company. Everybody should read these guys. They're ridiculously awesome. So, okay, back on. We're going on to like the last page, last two pages. So, second to last page, you know, we see the frames in the shape of the Cheshire Cat's face, which is a really cool technique. I really like it a lot. And we see Alice running through the woods, and there's all these signs posted up like, this is death, blood, you know, we see you, you know, there's stuff around the corner. And then she appears up to this house, and she's like, oh, I can rest here and everything. And then we see this silhouette of a figure looking out the window, and he's like, what do we have here? And that's it. That was the end of the story. So big cliffhanger, not really, but the story was good overall. Issue number 3 comes out next month. It's a monthly series, so everybody should check it out. You know, Xenoscope still, you know, they're only $2.99 in an issue, so they're not Marvel's prices of, like, you know, $59.99 an issue, but roll with right it. On. All
right, right on. Sounds pretty horrifying.
It's good. Really good writing.
Fans of horror probably like that. We'll go to Jennifer after. Jennifer had an interesting pick this time. I was looking forward to talking to her about this.
Well, I read The Physics of Superheroes by James Kaklios, and I actually have not finished reading it yet because it's like 400 or something pages, but it's pretty interesting. It talks about the physics of different things that have happened in comics. One part that really stuck out to me was them explaining the physics of Gwen Stacy's death, because that was one of the first comics that I ever remember reading, and, you know, it's Spider-Man's one of my favorite superheroes, and so I just thought it was really interesting because they use Newton's second law, which is pretty interesting. They go into, you know, specifics on how Gwen Stacy died and how she could have possibly lived. Basically, they use force equals mass times acceleration to explain that she was probably going, you know, 95 miles per hour when she was falling off the bridge. And they talk about, you know, how she could have survived had Spider-Man not tried to save her, because I guess in later issues, Green Goblin had said something about how he was going to go, you know, go down and save her, and he was just screwing around with Spider-Man. But I thought it was really interesting because I always thought, you know, that maybe if Peter Parker had not skipped class to go and rescue the people of New York, maybe Gwen Stacy wouldn't have died, because, you know, he probably would have taken a physics class, you would think, with, you know, how smart he is. So I just thought that part was interesting. And then another part that I sort of skimmed over was about Aquaman, who really isn't one of my favorite characters, but I just think he's an interesting character to read up on. And they used the example of him punching through a submarine, which, you know, it's supposed to be able to withstand the pressures at the bottom of the ocean, and yet he's able to just punch through it like it's nothing. So again, I don't really read Aquaman comics. I read some stuff that feature him in there, but nothing that's not, I haven't read anything that's his own title. So I don't know if he's supposed to, is his strength supposed to rival Superman's? Can you guys answer that for me? Because I don't know. It seems,
hopefully not.
It just doesn't seem right with some of the things that I've, you know, that I've seen him do, such as, you know, punching through the submarine and being able to, he deflected a missile with just his arm once and stuff like that. It just doesn't seem right, because his skin would have to be super, super tough, and he'd have to have, you know, if he's able to do some of these things that he's been drawn to do, then he might even be stronger than Superman, which I don't think is how it's supposed to be.
Well, I'm a bit of an Aqua fan, and I have read, or at least read parts of that book that you're referring to. I think the idea with Aquaman is that he's as strong as a man would need to be, and his fin is as thick as it needs to be in order to withstand the enormous pressure of all the atmospheres when he sinks to the bottom of the, for instance, the Marianas Trench, which is the deepest part of the ocean. So whatever, it would seem that, I guess, in order to be able to withstand those pressures, he would need to be incredibly dense and strong. So super dense muscle tissue, making him super strong. But I don't think he'd be able to split a, you know, an asteroid in two like Superman has done tons of times. But that's a subject to cause an internet fight somewhere, no doubt. It's an interesting book. I really like physics. A buddy of mine and I once tried to figure out how fast the Flash can run on average by calculating how much panel time he used in order to build this house in one of the most recent comic books. And we had calculated something like three times the speed of light, something like that. But yeah, it's definitely an interesting subject. And I think this guy has done also seminars or workshops teaching physics via superheroes to make it more interesting for the layman. I think if you YouTube this author, I forget his name. What's the guy's name?
James Kaklios. And I'm not even sure if I'm pronouncing his last name correctly, but...
Yeah, you'll be able to find some YouTube videos on him talking about, you know, whose fault was it that Gwen Stacy died? It might actually be Spider-Man's fault.
Spider-Man's fault.
I think it's the writer's fault.
Well,
yeah.
Yeah.
Ultimately, that's what it is. Yeah. Nico, what was your favorite thing you read this week?
What If number 2?
Hawkeye.
What?
Number 3.
So what if what? Come on. Look alive.
What if number 2? What if the Hulk had the brain of Bruce Banner?
Hawkeye's powers.
So
you're gonna sing 5 songs next week. You're getting your own podcast.
Yeah, that's cool.
Are you a fan of Hawkeye, Jennifer?
You know, I used to be a fan of Hawkeye, but then I took an arrow to the knee.
No way! You did not just say that.
Snap! Good one.
Tearjerker.
That's good. That's good. Well, that's a good comic, Nico. I'll talk about Catwoman number 6, just because this is pretty important issue for Catwoman in the series. As if you don't know the story so far, Catwoman's stolen a whole bunch of dirty money from dirty cops, so it's a really bad position for her to be in. And at the end of number 5, she was arrested by these dirty cops. She's in the interrogation room in this book, and they're not able to get her to divulge where this money is, and they really, really violently want this money. And this is a bloody comic book. I think Steven's going to like it. I think you started reading it at
I picked up issue 1 and 2. So okay. I say by next week I'll have issue 5 read.
In this issue, Reach makes a comeback. Reach and Catwoman had a fight that ended badly for Reach in the last issue, and they bring in Reach, which is this kind of punk looking female supervillain with anti-gravity powers, to torture basically Catwoman in order to extract the information they want. And once she Reach finally, like, very much subdues, or apparently subdues, Catwoman, Catwoman is murmuring on the floor, and Reach can't quite hear her, so she brings her ear close, and Catwoman goes all Mike Tyson on her ass and bites her friggin' ear off. And it's the scene of that happening is just over the top crazy. Gwilym March is so good at drawing the dynamic violent scenes. And so this is a good book. I had my criticisms of this book last month. You can find my review of this on stashmycomics.com/blog, Catwoman number 5. Because I felt that the characterization was a little hard to believe. Catwoman went from being incredibly distraught at her best friend's death to almost like a parody animal making one bad decision after another. But that is addressed in this book in a kind of head-to-head confrontation between Selina, Kyle, and Bruce Wayne, where it's made clear that Catwoman probably actually has a death wish at this point. So I wouldn't say it's like fine literature, but it's reliably entertaining comic book. So definitely I recommend this to fans of Catwoman, maybe fans of Batman too. For sure, check this out. Catwoman number 6. Chance, are you still reading Catwoman?
No, I only picked up the issue 3, I believe.
Okay. You picked up 1, 2, 3?
Yeah.
I stopped feeling it?
Yeah, I mean, I think just one day I forgot to pick it up, and I didn't feel like I was missing much, so I just never picked up the next one.
Right on. Fair enough. Different people roll different ways. So this Chase Variant podcast is brought to you by the letters D and G and the number 5 O, and also by StashMyComics.com, powered by Geek Energy. StashMyComics.com, the funnest online comic book database, 100% free to use to catalog your comics. We have a incredibly cosmic community of comic fans of all types posting user reviews and living it up on the forums. We have a brilliant blog with daily kick-ass content. We've got reviews on there, editorials, previews, and so damn much more. It's practically bursting at the digital seams. So subscribe to us on iTunes, on Stitcher, or whatever doohickey you use to listen to our awesome podcasts. And also follow us on Twitter at StashMyComics, and find us on Facebook. We would like it if you emailed us your feedback on our podcast, your kudos, your criticism, your erotic fanfic, whatever you want, at podcast@stashbycomics.com. Also, all of us individually are on Twitter, so maybe you can go around the room and pimp our Twitter accounts. Starting with Steven, what's your Twitter handle?
Okay, mine is XSS. PARKSX. So it'd be like X double X Sparks X. It's right tricky. Those XSSs are. Whew,
so basically, rough. It's at XSS, something like that, right?
Exactly. How'd you know?
Jennifer, you're on Twitter too, and you're actually one of those rare species of Twitter machine users who's actually quite witty, clever, and interesting on Twitter. I love reading your Twitter feed. What's your Twitter handle?
Well, thank you. It is Slacker Heroes.
Right on. And while we're here, might as well tell us, well, actually, we'll go around with the rest of our Twitter handles, and we'll come back to your to what you got to plug here. Chance, on Twitter, you are?
I am at ChancePMG.
And Nico?
I am at Nico Kaler, which is at NikoKaylor.
And I am at the Jason Newcomb, and phonetically that's the Jason Newcomb. There's only one, that's why there's a the. And Jennifer, yeah, you have a really cool blog, and so can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. SlackerHeroes.com is movies, television, books, comic books, pop culture. We cover a lot of different things. We do high-level editorials. We do celebrity interviews. We do reviews. I have a great staff of about 13 or 14 writers now, and we cover a lot of different geek and genre things.
Right on. And you also have a book of poetry coming out soon. I saw you tweet this.
Yes. I have a book of poetry coming out next month on March 31st is the official release date. It's a limited edition. It's going to be a chapbook of poetry and some of my art. And I'm only printing 118 copies. I'm basically doing it because I got quite a few people on social media and just emailing me asking me to put out a book of poetry. So, because I used to tweet a lot of poetry. So I'm doing that, and I still have a few copies left, and they're $10. It's just my poetry and my art, and I'm also including some loose art, some of the original pieces, kind of like a golden ticket in a few people's books, just sticking it in randomly. And also, the book that I think more people that listen to this podcast would be interested in is my book, Slacker Heroes, which is the same as my website. It's a young adult urban fantasy that will hopefully be going out sometime this year. It is a young adult urban fantasy, like I said, and it's about a group of delinquent slacker-type kids who get superpowers and use them for personal gain. And then they, you know, they just screw around, they have fun with it until they, one of their friends is killed and they have to step up and decide whether they can kill the antagonist to save themselves and whether they can, you know, be more than the losers that everybody sees them as.
Right on. Well, I'm assuming you're going to post the links where people can get that at the appropriate time on your Twitter feed.
I will, and I'm also going to have a personal blog going at some point. I have a Tumblr right now, but I don't really do much with it.
Fair enough.
Yeah, links will be posted on Twitter and Facebook and everything.
Sounds like fun. So check that out, dear listeners. Next, we're going to have a little bit of fun, and we're going to do some trivia. Are you going to stick with us, Jennifer, for the trivia?
I'll stick around. I don't know how good I'll be at the trivia.
Well, we all suck, so we'll all be equally bad and make each other look good.
Okay.
Chance.
It is a female character.
Play it smart. So, does anybody have any guess?
I know it.
I don't know it.
You are wrong, my friend. It was Wolf. It's Wolfgang.
Oh, yeah. I win in your face.
So we're going to use the same format we did in our previous episode, where I have picked a character, and you guys get to ask questions about the character, and I'll tell you either yes or no. And whoever the first person to guess the name right wins. So we will start with Jason.
Okay. So you have, let's say, might be a good question. Is this character owned by one of the big two?
Yes. Nico, you're next.
Is this character from Marvel?
No.
Jennifer stepped away just to get some headphones, so we'll do Steven first.
Steven, you can go first.
Is it a villain?
Yes.
Jennifer back? No, not yet. Okay, so I'll go. Jennifer will get to ask two questions in a row.
Alright.
How about, so you can't, okay, so it's gotta be yes or no. Is this character gender male?
Yes.
Nico?
Is this character have short hair?
Yes.
Okay, well, we have not found out what company this was for. Is this
Did Nico ask about Marvel?
Nico did ask
about Marvel.
And what was the answer?
It is not from Marvel.
And but,
so, oh, you asked who's the, is it from the top two?
Yeah.
Ah, okay.
He said yes, so it's gotta be big, it's gotta be DC.
Yes, it's gotta be DC. Okay, is this part of Flash, is this character part of Flash's rogue gallery?
No.
And Jennifer, since you stepped away, we're gonna let you ask two questions in a row.
Okay. I'm being caught up to speed here. So DC character, male villain.
Yeah.
Okay. Is this person from Batman's Rogues?
No.
Does this person have weird colored hair, or is it like does this person have natural colored hair? I guess I should say.
No.
Oh. Is this character, wow, This is a good one. How can I ask this? Has this character ever been in one of the Batman movies?
No.
I'll guess. Can I take a guess?
You can take a guess.
We can take a guess after any question we want, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
Will that take up a question?
It does not take up a question to give a guess.
Let me see. I will guess Black Mask.
It is not.
Ah.
Nico?
Has this person been in a movie?
No.
What did you ask?
He asked if they have been in a movie.
Well, I'd already asked that. It's a wasted question.
No, you said in the Batman movie.
Batman movie.
It's totally different.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, I'm the one that asked the stupid question.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Such is life.
Great, Steve, your guess, or your question.
Is it from Wonder Woman's rogue gallery?
No. Jennifer, it's your guess.
Does this person dress in black?
No.
Okay, how many questions have we asked so far?
We're at 11.
Okay. Let me see. I'm going to ask. Weird colored hair. That's assuming it has hair. Does this character have hair?
Yes, this character has hair.
I already asked that.
No, you asked if the character has short hair.
That, and he said like, yes.
Which would indicate that.
Oh, yeah. Well, bald is pretty short hair. short hair. DC character, male villain, not a Flash rogue, not a Batman rogue, not a Wonder Woman rogue. Oh, jeez. What the hell can I ask? Oh, okay, how about this? That's not going to work either.
I have a good question.
Does this character have powers?
Yes.
Okay.
Nico?
Is this person in Superman's rogue gallery? Whatever
no.
That is?
Steve?
Let's see, does this person have a ring, a lantern ring?
No.
Has this person always been a villain?
Oh.
No.
Oh. Huh. Hello there.
Wow, it's...
A flipper. Okay. No. So hard to ask a narrow down question. What if I think laterally? Does the first letter of this character's name exist in the upper half of the alphabet?
Wow.
That's Asu.
So 13 and letters 13 and up. So.
Yes.
Okay. Hang on. he's a Superman villain, but not, I mean, I don't know, he's not specifically a Superman villain. It could be that dude. I'll try Parasite.
No. Your guess, Nico, or your question.
Does this person only have one name?
No.
No, so it's two names. One more.
Who the hell is this?
Steve?
Does this person run with other people?
No.
What the hell?
As in a group of
Not in the team?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just want to say again, the questions you're asking, I'm sitting here, I know who the character is.
Well, that was 19. We have one more, and that'll be 20.
We're just going till someone gets it right.
But we're already at 20. That was the 20th question.
That's right. Nice.
So we all ultimately we failed. Now we see how
bad
well we can fail.
That was 19.
I think it's Jennifer, right?
Yep.
Does this person have henchmen?
No.
No guess from you, Jennifer?
No. I told you I fail at this. I'm not a very good at this game.
It looks like we all fail. Let me see here. Does not wear a lantern ring, eh?
Yeah.
That's a tough one. So we got, it could be, has not always been a villain. Oh, hang on. What's that guy's name? Just a minute. That one guy.
Do you remember him?
Yep, that one guy. That's the answer, Chance. That one guy.
That one guy's
that
name.
That one bad guy who hasn't always been a villain.
And he has short hair.
Yes. Yep.
Weirdly colored.
Can't be that guy. Can't be that one guy, actually. It can't be Hector Hammond, who has not always been a villain. Son of a...
Well, technically, Hector Hammond was always sort of a villain, in a way.
Well, I guess every villain hasn't always been a villain.
Yeah, true.
Darn, I should have been more specific when I asked that.
Yes! Has this character ever been a superhero?
No.
Okay. That's the catch. So maybe this is a villain.
He's not in anybody's major rogue gallery either, so it makes it... He's an outside...
Tough one.
Maybe in between an A and a B class villain, so he's like an A.5 or something, or a B.5.
Like he's a second-class villain.
Oh! Is
that
this
guy?
No, I just asked. How about... Okay, Starro. Is it Starro?
Ooh, that's a good one.
No.
Ah!
All right, so I think it's Nico's question.
Does this person have green hair?
What was the question?
Does this person have green hair?
No. Steve?
All right. Okay. Hang on, I'm thinking. Okay.
People listening at home are like, "You friggin' moron! It's this guy."
Probably.
Okay. Man, why do I want? I'm thinking of my. Is he? Oh, jeez. Is he in Green Lantern's rogue gallery?
Yes.
Okay. There we go. We're getting somewhere now. I can write that down. Okay, I want to attempt a guess.
All right.
Is it Saint Walker?
No.
Okay.
Saint Walker is a villain now?
Yeah, he can be a villain. Don't worry about it. Well, I hope he becomes a villain. How about that? I just wanted to throw a guess out there because I was getting bored.
Right.
All right, Jennifer, your question.
If we can't get it here, we'll have to give up.
We're at 21. How about we go to 25?
Oh, we're more than 21, are we?
I have 21.
12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17.
We're at 21 or 22.
I was at 24.
23. Okay. I have 23.
No, I think this is the cutoff point. People are falling asleep at home.
Oh, I don't want to be the last question. I don't
Too
have
bad.
A good one.
Well, pressure's on you.
Oh, I'm not even a huge Green Lantern fan.
Well, you better start working on it.
So I wouldn't even have a guess.
Well, we'll all guess together if you're going to manage to ask
I don't even know what a rogue gallery is.
What?
It's okay. Don't worry about it. Just
That's okay,
just let
Nico.
It just let it go.
I love you anyway, Nico. Okay,
Does this person have a weird shade of skin?
No.
Okay, well, can we just try to, figure out a guess here, and if we can't get it, we'll just give up. Upper, like his letters M and up. Never been a superhero. Why did you choose some sort of obscure dude?
He's not obscure. I mean,
it's not Darkseid. It's not. Upper
he's
letters.
He's related to Green Lantern. He's a Green Lantern. He's
a Trump, he's not. He's a
Lantern villain.
It's not the anti-monitor. I don't know. We fail at being geeks. What is it?
I want to at least attempt to guess here. Is it Bleez?
No.
Bleez. It's letters N and M and up. There comes a bleep. It's letters M and.
Yeah, M and up. B would be an M and up.
No, up. Up. Not. Oh. I what? Totally misunderstood.
I think
thing.
We need to agree on directions, number one.
Apparently. Well, you started the first. You said the upper half of the alphabet.
Yeah. Yes, in terms of numerically. Never mind.
And then M and up. So that'd be upper.
Keep going. I can get this. I'm going through my lands right now.
Okay,
it's our kilo.
That's cheating.
Is it
who
a
is
Metropolis?
It? Who is it?
Golix.
Tell us.
Dexstar.
I don't even know who that is. I would have never gotten it.
You know him as Rage Kitty.
Rage. You picked.
Yeah, he's a cat that turned into a Red Lantern and he pukes blood.
Yeah, he vomits blood all over old ladies.
Oh, I'm disappointed in this one.
I was, and I was on a roll.
I was sitting there. You guys got so close, but you kept on saying, is this person? And I'm like, no, it's not a person.
Oh.
And then I said Lantern villain. Focus on the villains. We could have made two guesses. Oh. Yeah. Anyhow, let's roll.
That's it for our show. Thank you for tuning in. Again, subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, whatever else. Go to the stashmycomics.com/HTML/forums and our blog. Check out Jennifer's blog, slackerheroes.com, and find her on Twitter at slackerheroes. Thanks a lot for joining us, Jennifer. We really appreciate that.
Yeah, it was fun.
Good, good. If you want to stay tuned, we're probably going to have another segment there, people. So keep an eye out for that. And, not an eye, unless you listen with your eyeballs. But don't worry about that. I stopped making sense about an hour ago. So, that's it. That's a capper. Have a good night or afternoon or whatever time of the day it is.
All the ethical implications or ideas that are coming up and being worked out throughout the characters in this various series.
Quantum mechanics.
Theology.
Science. Psychology. Planet eating. Monsters.
And especially comics.
You are listening to Let's Get Cerebral, a special segment of the Stash My Comics and Chase Variant podcasts. This segment is me and some other dude or girl speaking on comic-related subjects, but we like to we don't think that comics are just disposable entertainment. We think that comic books can be important and enlightening and refreshing and educational. So we like to dig in deep into the deeper questions in comic books and ponder these bigger subjects like theology, psychology. What else might we talk about? Whatever subject might be of interest, science,
quantum mechanics, you name it. We'll be touching on those things in this segment. So with me is my friend here, Kenny Yeager. Say hello, Kenny Yeager.
Hey guys, it's Kenny Yeager. Just a small subtlety there, no big deal.
My apologies. I'll have to sing a song too, I guess. Now you have a particularly invested interest in these subjects. You have studied theology, am I right?
Yeah, actually, my bachelor's degree is in theology. I'm one of those self-declared thinkers. I'd like to think that I have an idea of what's going on here, but, you know, it's always a learning process, always analyzing, and so I bring that analytical perspective to everything I do, and especially comics. I mean, sure, I like to watch superheroes beat up the bad guys as much as anyone else, but it's also cool to really look and see all the ethical implications or ideas that are coming up and being worked out throughout the characters in these various series.
Well, I don't have any official papers prove that I'm actually interested in deeper subjects or interested in these kinds of other real subjects, but you'll just have to take my word for it. I love quantum mechanics. I'm interested in theology and psychology and whatever I can get my hands on that will feed my hyperactive brain. And it's very fitting that tonight we chose the topic of do people in the Marvel and DC universe believe in God? Because they've got all these practically godlike characters running around. In fact, some of them are gods from mythology, like in the Wonder Woman character gallery, as well as the Thor character gallery. You've got Doctor Strange, who navigates these other dimensions. You've got the Spectre, who is quite clearly God's avatar of vengeance. You've got all these, planet-eating monsters, and you name it. So, it begs the question: like, is it actually possible to not believe in God while you're in the DC and Marvel universe? One can certainly understand the point of view of an atheist or a believer in our current society, because everybody's got their own perspective on it, so forming their own opinion. But when you see the Spectre, God's avatar of vengeance, coming down and declaring that he's going to punish the wicked in God's name, it starts to get difficult to take the point of view of Mr. Terrific, who is a devout atheist. So what do you think, Kenny? How can somebody in the DC and Marvel universe take the stand of non-believer and actually have grounds to do so?
I think that's a really interesting question. Whenever you brought up the subject to me in a message previously, the Spectre is the first person I thought of, and I'm like, well, here's this well-known and respected person within the DC continuity universe, whatever the proper term we want to use here is. The Justice League and everyone understands that here he is. He's the judgment of God. And so it strikes me interesting that that's just kind of an assumed reality for that universe. Do you know what I'm saying there? So,
yeah, it seems to be, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, the Marvel Universe also has a devil, Mephisto, who actually cut a deal with Spider-Man, if I'm not mistaken, and so these heaven and hell and these concepts of Judeo-Christian mythology certainly seem to exist in both the Marvel and DC universe.
Yeah, it's definitely hard to say that those themes don't show up throughout the universes. I do think it's really interesting, though. I think both universes do this, but it's perhaps more prominent in the Marvel universe, is that all these old mythologies, so to speak, such as the Norse and the Greek they come in with these major players such as Thor, or Ares is in there, Hercules and these others. So it's just an interesting thing that how it's kind of inclusive, I guess I want to say, in the way that it treats divine beings.
Now, have you ever come across any stories that address this specifically? Maybe some characters that outwardly say, like Mr. Terrific, he's very much an open and devout, well, devout, or it's kind of a misnomer to say that he's a devout atheist. I don't know if you can say that he's devoted to that cause, but certainly he's openly atheist. Have you ever come across any characters who have expressed their belief in a monotheistic a divinity as we understand it in our North American cultural context?
I have. I think that as a rule, most of these publications, they want to play it safe, I guess, and not represent or misrepresent one of our, you know, country's leading, well, America's, I should say, leading religious demographics. So I respect they're not wanting to get too detailed or too committed. But it seems to me that there's kind of this underlying trend of more of a deistic, there is a God creator out there, it's kind of concept. It seems like, who was it I was thinking of the other day? Professor X, I believe. He really seems to have these nods to a God he'll refer to that has some kind of intentionality going for him. Then there's also the interesting characters. I mean, you've got the Punisher, who was in seminary at some point. A really interesting subject there. You got the more fringe characters, in a sense. Reading in Justice League Dark, you run into these people that are dealing with the occult, and among them is John Constantine, this professional exorcist. So you definitely run into these people that seem to acknowledge that spiritual reality.
I the only time I've ever come across it, other than with Mr. Terrific, is with my favorite character, The Question. And of course, being a person of intense curiosity, has pondered this subject. And in one issue in particular, where he gets into a battle of wits with the Riddler, of all people, kind of defeats him by asking basically these questions. Is there a God? If there is one, why is there evil? And all these kinds of issues that probably most of us have contended with. So at the very least, this character has thought of these issues before. So other than that, all I know is that Wonder Woman's got her pantheon, and you've got Zeus and Hera and Apollo and all these Greek mythological deities, very different than the Judeo-Christian concept, but at least you got that. And that's all, and other than the specter that we've already touched on, that's pretty much what I've come across in terms of this issue in the comics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, there's always other characters. There's a lot of different mythologies within the comic universes. Just coming to mind right now is Moon Knight, who, I mean, who knows with Moon Knight what actually has or hasn't happened. But as far as I can tell from what I've read, he's, in a sense, an avatar of an Egyptian god.
Yeah.
Which is just another point of interest. That's how it's, like I was saying, yeah, they kind of draw from all these different sources. So,
yeah.
Definitely
interesting subject. If you listeners have any topics you'd like to suggest to us, you can do so by emailing me directly, actually, at jasonnewcomb@stashmycomics.com. Phonetically, that's Jason Newcomb, like as a comb to comb your hair. And Kenny, you're on Twitter. Do you want to give us your Twitter handle?
Yeah, my Twitter is just at Kenny Yeager. That's KennyYeager.
And so if people want to tweet their suggestions for topics for Let's Get Cerebral to Kenny, you can do so that way too. And we'll be tackling all sorts of other real and interesting topics there in the future. So keep an ear out for that. Thanks for joining me for this, Kenny.
Yeah, great to be here.
We'll talk to you later, listeners. Thanks for listening.